Burt Lancaster.
Yeah. And hey, how about
Tony Curtis?
About Tony Curtis, doesn't he look good?
He looks great.
I didn't even recognize him.
He looks great.
I read something about Tony Curtis this morning.
Is he posing nude for his 80th birthday?
Yeah, Vanity Fair.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to pose nude. Yeah. He's just going to pose nude to show everybody. And if you're going to do Tony Curtis, you just do a variation on Cary Grant.
Yeah, right.
So what you do is that he's going to pose nude. Wasn't he a great guest when he was on this show?
Yes. I asked him point blank about Jamie Lee Curtis being a hermaphrodite.
God, we definitely have to get him back on the show.
Okay.
Because he's posing nude, and he's 80.
Yeah. He's covering himself with his dogs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. His private areas will be covered with his dog.
But what a great CSI it was. And Quentin Tarantino, and I know that everybody loves jumping in his prostate about how great the guy is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the stuff I like, some of it I don't like. He's really talented. He's a fan of CSI.
He knows how to get you going. I mean, he knows how to get the voyeur in all of us. He really does.
And here's, at least from my perspective, being a crazy fan of that show, what he added. In the beginning scene when the guy Warren, the black guy, he's talking to Eads,
right?
Okay, George Eads,
right?
That little conversation they had in the locker room.
That's the one. Yeah.
The Warwick, that's his name. The brother
Warwick. Yeah.
He's never had that much character on that show.
Yeah, exactly.
In 5 years,
Tarantino liked him and he wrote for him, and it was obvious.
In 5 minutes, he got a. Also, when the Grisham is doing the thing with his eyebrows and he's like showing off that he's acting, and he's just kind of stonewalling Mark Helgenberger, she says, excuse me, Jack Handy. I know that we're in deep thoughts. That's like a joke you never hear on CSI.
Exactly. Great moment.
And then when he has him say, you know, time is of the essence.
Yeah, wonderful stuff. Like to see more of Tarantino do that directing. That would be great.
It was very obvious that he had everything to do with it. And the music selection was good.
Even I like Kill Bill Volume 2, too.
Oh, yeah, those are great movies. And even if Tarantino doesn't come back, I think he's made a permanent mark on the show. I don't think the show can ever go back. And as great as it was,
right.
I think it's a little going to be a little different now.
How many of you thought that the cop at the crime scene was actually going to be the bad guy?
Yeah,
I did right away. I really thought that was going to happen.
How many of you thought they were going to kill off Eads?
Yeah.
I mean, I did.
Possible. I never did.
And you know,
you really thought they were going to kill him off?
Yeah, I thought he was one of the ones that was in a contract holdout at the beginning of the year.
See, I fell asleep before he got rescued, but I knew he was going to get rescued.
Last week, Fried and I had discussed when we were watching this CSI last week. They got like a cast of 1,000 now.
They do.
And that must be their leverage that they could say, you know, we can kill you off at any time because we've got this guy waiting and this girl waiting.
Well, because it was the season finale, they kind of crammed them all in one room a lot. You know, did you notice that?
Yeah.
I was like, all the CSIs going from point A to point B.
And that George Eads, first off, that's a scary concept.
Yeah.
To think about being buried alive.
Jesus.
And again, that's Quentin Tarantino. He gives you something that right away, in the first 20 minutes, you're thinking, I could never stand to be buried. And he's got the gun up to his mouth, and they're saying, don't do it. And he's got the scenes when that guy Eads would just be in there going,
Flip.
I mean, that's better than going to a movie.
Oh, sure it is. It's better than a lot of movies.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it was like a CSI movie.
It was great.
And I just want to say this because finally I'm talking about a show that's not American Idol.
Homo.
Okay. You want to follow me on this?
Yeah.
There was lots of guts, and literally lots of guts on that show last
Intestines.
Night.
Intestines.
Sex, men, women, fighting, shooting.
Yes, lots of action.
Explosions.
Nothing like American Idol.
And snappy dialogue as well.
No, hold on, everybody's calling with that actor's name. Here we go. Sean, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys. That actor who blew himself up was John Saxon.
That was John Saxon.
Okay, what do we know him from then,
you
Mike?
Would probably know him, really. He was in a lot of the Bruce Lee movies, Enter the Dragon. He was a B-movie actor. He played a lot of, like, the second-tier tough guys. And he was, not mafia guys, but he was like, man, what can I equate him with? He'd be equated with, like, almost a Robert Stack kind of guy, a Tony Franciosa.
Oh, one of those
that
guys.
Kind of guy. Okay. Yeah, John Saxon.
Thank you, my friend. You're the first. Thank you. Everybody's calling about that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, man, what's up, brother?
Hi there.
Hey, question. Look, at the end of that, the whole thing, it drove me nuts. He didn't go in there and, like, just rip that girl apart.
Well, he couldn't.
Oh, now, you know, here's
it drove me nuts.
But that's, again, why I think Quentin Tarantino is so good. Mm-hmm. The end of that show last night, you could interpret what that guy George Eads, and I just like calling him by his real name, Eads.
Mm-hmm.
you could interpret what he was doing your own way, that he went back to the prison to see the daughter and, you know, just said to her, basically, when you get out, everything will be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's cool. I mean, you could interpret that three or four different ways.
Sure, like he really is going to get her in the long run for putting him underground. No, he's too honorable.
No,
yeah, I think so.
Or what he's saying is, that, you know, don't worry about all this crap that your dad started. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with it.
Does anyone know what song it was on the cassette that he sent in?
I told you last night, I thought it was the Stones, but I guess it wasn't, right?
I don't think it was, because I poked around in my Stone CDs. It was like...
It was something like Find Me If You Can.
No
that
matter
kind of
what
stuff.
You're going to do or something.
Right.
I'd love to know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool, but it was obscure.
And also, very nice the way that it started is they were listening to it. You could definitely hear it coming out of the like the little boombox.
Right.
And then as they looked at the evidence and found out they were screwed, all of a sudden it became full, beautiful, stereophonic sound.
Yeah, well done. And even with the delay between the time he puts the tape recorder on, which Tarantino's brilliant enough to know that that's another opportunity to create a little bit of suspense where we're all waiting to hear what's on the tape. Just to, you know, that's why he is who he is.
And nice use of ants.
Right. Well, of course, because Gil Grissom is really into insects.
And you know that Quentin Tarantino's an enormous fan of that show. I think Tarantino watches a lot of TV.
Well, that's what I appreciated about it, is that here's a big-time movie guy who's not afraid to say, I like something on TV. As a matter of fact, I love it so much, I'd like to try it myself.
Well, Quentin Tarantino was also a judge on American Idol one time.
That's right.
I mean, that's funny.
He spends
a lot of time at home on TV.
Now that you think, as you mentioned, that's another thing I've got in common with him.
Yeah.
And we're both really, really handsome.
Right?
Smart.
And I would venture to say that at a big crowded party, Tarantino probably wouldn't be, that gregarious. He would probably be. But hasn't he been known to be, like, kind of a bar brawler and stuff like that?
Yeah, I guess.
And you'd never do that.
No, I'd run and hide.
He lips off a lot.
He's a mouthy guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I do look good in those ski hats that he loves wearing. He's just a squirrely guy. Or as Joe puts up on the screen, Quentin Tarantino, as if he's quitting his job.
Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino.
Quit her.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi, great. Thank you.
Hey, last night on E.T., they were talking with George Eads about Tarantino directing that episode. And they were talking about when they first put him into the coffin, Tarantino was whispering in his ear through the ventilation hole things like, "Your mom, you know, your mom can see you. Your mom's watching you right now." Things to get him freaked out, psyched up, so some of the emotions.
I can see Tarantino doing crap like that.
And he probably does it with real actors.
Sure.
You know, like in his real movies, like in Reservoir Dogs or in Pulp Fiction.
There's a chance you're never really coming out of here. I know they're making a TV show, but there's a chance you're not going to get out of there. This could happen. You could really be trapped.
The black and white scene?
Yeah.
Yes.
The black and white scene was supposedly ultra gory, but to get it past the censors, they had to go black and white.
Yeah. Oh, and hold on. One more thing, and then we can get off the CSI thing. Would somebody please explain to me? I'm not complaining, but like the dream sequence, would you have the two coroners, and they've got the big axe, and like they're singing, and he's going, "I've got an axe. Let's cut him open. Let's cut him open. Let's cut
very
him open."
Very strange.
It was very much like Alice going down the hole.
Yeah.
I didn't really follow that.
I think George Eads was kind of hallucinating at that point. He was in his final moments, one way or another, in that box, and I think he was starting to blank out and fantasize and hallucinate a little bit.
And was that a real brand of gum, or was it a fictitious gum? Tarantino likes to put fictitious characters. I mean, I know, like, Jack Rabbit Slim's was not a real restaurant. He does that. Was the gum on CSI last night, was it a created name brand of a gum? I think it was.
It looked like Bubblicious. Oh,
right, but it wasn't
right.
Really
I don't think it was. Do you think it's like on Seinfeld, when they used to have what was really a Diet Coke can at the time, just regular red and white, but they would alter it to say Diet Cola?
Or like the beer they drink on the soap operas that we were watching, House Beer.
Right. Mike and I sat and watched this soap opera one day for 10 minutes trying to figure out what the brand of beer is, fake beer is, the actor's drinking. And it's like H-O. It could be what? H-O-U.
There's a house. U. There's a U. It's got to be house beer.
House
beer.
House
beer. You can get that at your place.
House
enjoy
beer.
The great taste of house.
What a great CSI. Oh, and I know you're sick of hearing this every Friday, but I'll just tell you that my acupuncture today went to a new level.
Oh, she put them there.
Really? Happy ending?
Buzz, Jesus Christ, you would think so. You would think so. I get my acupuncture.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've told you about that, for stress release, getting my chi together, feeling good about myself. It's fantastic. Today, they said to me, want you to try something that's like stretching and yoga and...
She put some of those needles in the funny, fleshy fairway?
No, none down there, Mike.
Right, just checking.
None down there.
Yeah.
They're all over my feet, though. All over my feet, all really? Over my ankles,
wow.
All over my head, all over my arms and legs. It's crazy. And then they say, you're going to go upstairs and try this time massage.
Right.
And it's yoga, and I'm not into that, but I'm trying this because I'm so into the acupuncture.
It's working, yeah.
And as it turns out...
I've been dying to try that. Not acupuncture, but that Thai massage. I'm going to do it.
I'll tell you what, I'm not in great shape, but I run on the treadmill every day. I'm sore as hell from this broad stretching me out today.
Right.
But again, listen, it's just my own personal thing that I think pregnant women are sexy.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, the woman who was giving me the Thai massage, yeah, she
sexy.
She's pregnant, just enough where it shows.
I see,
and just enough where the fairy's been to visit. So
you were a motivated student.
I'm laying like pretzel like on the store on the floor rather, and as she's leaning over saying, maybe we can just push this thigh a little bit more. Honey. Manipulate me to your heart's desire. I don't care. Break my back. I don't care. Beautiful, hot Thai massage.
Wow. What Thai massage was, the article I read, was that you do basically a lot of yoga poses where instead of you having to get into the pose, they basically twist you pretzel-like into, and they help you along with it.
They do. Wow. And a lot of it was because, you know, I'm a guy and she's a girl. Mm-hmm. There would be that thing where she'd have me stretched in this position and say, now hold it as long as you can.
Uh-huh.
You know, feel free. If you want to switch feet, you know, go ahead.
Right.
But I, the whole time, you know, standing there holding my stomach in going,
yeah.
No, I can.
This is no problem, man.
I can handle this.
did you have a favorite position?
Yes, I did, Buzz.
I see. Okay, well, that's the important thing.
The favorite one was...
Okay, this is welcome to your Thai massage. Now we're going to attempt... This is what we like to call the reverse cowboy Thai massage.
I'm telling you, it's great. I've never thanked the Chinese for anything beyond General Chow's food.
Thai.
Well, Chinese, Japanese, Thai,
Thailand, yeah.
Same part of the world.
Bangkok.
Hey, watch your mouth,
just
okay?
Just give me a name of a town in
Thailand. I know you are. Watch your mouth.
That's right.
But I'm just telling
town.
You, this whole you know, Western medicine thing,
uh-huh.
I'm there.
Eastern.
I'll remember that one of these days. But I'm there. And I'm loving it.
I read this great article.